we're going to get right underway with one of our broadcast partners who covers the geopolitical activities around the world. So many of them happening so quickly. We try to stay on top of them with Ken Timmerman out of the Washington, D.C. area. And Ken, we've got a load to talk about today. Let's get right into it. France making the statement that if chemical weapons allegedly used in Syria is true, then there needs to be a power attack of some type from some entity on what's happening with the use of chemical weapons of mass destruction there in the area of Syria, just above Damascus. And at this point, as I understand it, we don't know who used them, if indeed they were used. Was it the opposition or was it the Bashar Assad government? Give us the latest. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's right. We don't know who used chemical weapons. We don't know how many weapons were used. We have some reports from on the ground from doctors and other people who've examined victims that describe symptoms that would be consistent, if you wish, with a sarin attack. That's a nerve gas attack. But again, there's a shortage of hard evidence at this point and a lot of accusations flying around. The Syrian government, of course, rejects the accusation that they've used chemical weapons. They say it's a ploy, it's a propaganda attack by the opposition, which is entirely possible. The United Nations just last week has finally sent a team of investigators, of weapons inspectors, to Syria, and they are already starting to scope out three suspected sites where chemical weapons were reportedly used, and I expect that they're going to try to get to this site as soon as they can to try to get fresh evidence to make a determination whether, number one, the weapons were used, and number two, who used them, the government or the opposition. As for the French, you know, French President François Hollande, who's a feckless socialist, who's ridiculed by his own people in the media, including fellow socialists, I think is just trying to get on the map. It's the month of August in France. Everybody's on vacation, and the president has been afraid of going to the beach where some photographer would snap a picture of him in beach clothing or a bathing suit. So he's hidden himself away in a hunting lodge in the forest of Fontainebleau, south of France. I wouldn't take his chest thumping very seriously at this point.
Yeah, and everybody's watching by, all world leaders wanting to have some answers. Because that was a pretty startling headline about the French, as you say, I recognize exactly his political philosophy. So I thought it was interesting he would make a comment. But, as you say, probably chest-thumping at this point in time. Well, let's take a look at Egypt, the crackdown by the Egyptian military, the Muslim Brotherhood wanting to go back to the streets. They've been off the streets all week long. Howbeit, they have not gone away. In fact, I want to talk in a moment about their attacks on the Coptic churches there in Egypt. But first of all, it looks like the military in Egypt is kind of holding strong against any types of demonstrations or protests by the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yes, they are. And what's become clear over the past week, Jimmy, is that General al-Sisi, the head of the military, has got a strategy. And he knows exactly what he's doing, and he's setting out to accomplish it in a very rational, systematic way. He's been rounding up the top leadership of the Muslim Brotherhood. Mohamed Badieh, the spiritual leader, was arrested this past week, and hundreds of other leaders have also been arrested. They've been thrown in jail. The Egyptians are describing the Muslim Brotherhood as an inverted pyramid with a very, you know, small group of leaders at the bottom and then this mass up on the top. And if they can take the leaders out of the equation, the pyramid will collapse. And that's what they've been seeing over the past couple of weeks with the collapse of the popular demonstrations. Now, does the Muslim Brotherhood have staying power? They are claiming that that's the case, and they remind us that they have weathered past crackdowns by Gamal Abdel Nasser in the 50s and the 60s, and even by Mubarak in the 1980s. And they've weathered those storms by maintaining their social organizations, schools and hospitals and other organizations that distribute welfare to poorer people. But I think this time things are different, because the sympathy that they might once have garnered through those social welfare activities has dissipated dramatically because of the behavior of Mohamed Morsi as the Muslim Brotherhood's president of Egypt over the past year. So I don't think they're going to emerge from this crackdown as strong as they have from previous ones.
Yeah, but at the same time, the Muslim Brotherhood brand is still effective across the Middle East. Some of the leadership and the opposition there in Syria from the Muslim Brotherhood, situation in Jordan trying to bring down King Abdullah, his monarchy, is being led by the Muslim Brotherhood. So, in essence, across the world, they may have some problems going on in Egypt, but across the world, they're not going to go away, are they?
No, they're not going to go away, and you're absolutely correct to point to Turkey and to Jordan in particular. And, you know, the funny thing about Turkey, Erdogan, the prime minister, who's Barack Obama's most trusted foreign leader confidant, the man that he goes to whenever he wants to sort of bare his soul about what's going on around the world and in the Middle East in particular, Erdogan accused the Israelis of being behind the ouster of Mohamed Morsi. So you see, anti-Semitism in its most kind of crass form lives on at the heart of the Muslim Brotherhood and will continue to live on, I think, in those other countries that you've just mentioned.
Talk to me about the fact you mentioned President Obama, his relationship with Tayyip Erdogan there in Turkey. What about the president's administration? I mean, they're sitting there watching everything exploding in Syria, coming apart almost in Egypt, and he doesn't seem to be making any moves. I mean, what's going on here is supposedly the leader of the free world not doing anything with these catastrophes taking place.
Well, it's very interesting that you point that out. What's happening, Jimmy, is that President Obama's policies are imploding in front of his eyes. It was his policy to bring the Muslim Brotherhood to power in Egypt, and we've seen what's happened to them. It was his policy to bring the Muslim Brotherhood to power in Tunisia, and they're being disputed there. It was his policy to overthrow Gaddafi and bring the Muslim Brotherhood and even al-Qaeda into power in Libya, and we've seen what happened to our ambassador in Benghazi last September and what, you know, the ongoing chaos in Libya. So President Obama's strategy of empowering the Muslim Brotherhood is imploding all across the region. I'm not surprised that he's staying quiet.
The Muslim Brotherhood does have, though still, a little bit in their arsenal, and that is going after the Coptic Church. I mean, I don't know what the number is now. I know of at least 50 churches that have been burned down by the Muslim Brotherhood, allegedly by the Muslim Brotherhood, but they're going after, they're seeking revenge with the Coptic Church in Egypt, aren't they?
You know, I mentioned earlier anti-Semitism. The Muslim Brotherhood's ideology is based on a hatred, a contempt, and an assault on all who are not Muslims. First they turn against bad Muslims, and then they turn against the Jews and the Christians, and they blame others for their failures to lead or their failures to bring prosperity to their countries. The assault on Christian churches and on the Coptic Christian community in Egypt is absolutely mind-boggling. You mentioned 50 churches. I've heard the number 57 churches recently. You know, and this is going up every time you and I speak, Jimmy. You know, the first time I think we mentioned this 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had heard about 7 or 8 churches that had been firebombed by the Muslim Brotherhood. Now it's 57. Hundreds, if not thousands, of Christians have been murdered. Mass graves have been discovered near Alexandria, up on the coast of the Mediterranean, where Coptic Christians have been found bound and tortured to death. Some of these very recently, the deaths are very recent. Some of them, the deaths go back to a year or more. So you see that this is part of a concerted policy of the Muslim Brotherhood to target Christians, to drive Christians out of Egypt, and to reclaim Egypt as so-called Muslim land. And this is, you know, the deep, dark underside of this so-called Arab Spring that President Obama has been supporting so avidly, is the expulsion of Christians from the Middle East.
You know, I was watching the other day Fox News, and Charles Krauthammer, the syndicated columnist, was there, and he made the statement, this is the untold story across the entire Middle East, the Islamic attacks on the churches, on the Christian community in every country, starting with Iraq and going all the way to Egypt. I mean, this is an untold story, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, I originally tried to write this story of the attacks in Iraq. It's a nonfiction book called Blood of the Martyrs, and I couldn't find a single publisher in New York who was interested in it. So eventually I wrote a fictional account called St. Peter's Bones to try to lay out what's happening in Iraq, what's happening to the church, what's happening to individual Christians and to families and individuals as they get hunted down by jihadis, tracked, literally tracked, like wounded animals, and murdered by the jihadi Muslim organizations. We don't cover it in the media as much as we should, and so I felt it was important in that case to write a novel so people could feel exactly on the inside, as human beings, what it's like to be a Christian today in the Muslim world.
And indeed, that is why we have Ken Timmerman as one of our broadcast partners, to tell the whole story of what's going on across the entire Middle East and, in fact, around the world, because he covers geopolitical activities for us. This time, mostly on the Middle East, because that's where the action is right now, but at other times, the entire world. Ken, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.